Views expressed and the opinions given by the individual hosts and their guests do not necessarily express those of KCNR Radio and its sponsors. All shows are independently owned and broadcast for entertainment purposes only. Readers and listeners are advised that neither KCNR Radio nor its owners and agents shall be held liable for the content of this program.
You know, the day destroys the night, night divides the day.
All right, welcome to the Being Found Show. We've taken a couple of weeks off here, like so many people here in Reading. Sorry, I'm a little out of breath as I come running in here from the apocalyptic smoke outside. I'm your host, Chauncey.
And I'm the co-host, Jake.
Jake. And what is this show about, Jake?
Today's show is going to be pretty awesome. We often discuss SEO. I mean, that's part of being found with your online presence. Today, we're kind of going to cover the basics. I mean, not everyone's at the same level here. We put together a pretty awesome spreadsheet showing just some great basic things you can do as a business owner, so really practical things that can increase your SEO and your online presence.
Yeah, you know, with the way, so I'll start this out by talking about computer and technology in general. My mother-in-law, people who are older than I know, and a lot of people my own age, don't have Facebook, are terrified of computers. They're just scared of them. And by the way, my age is 42. and it's weird, but they don't realize that technology has really moved in a way where technology does not expect you to be technological. Yeah. You know, they're pandering to the lowest common denominator. And, well, like the new device that you're going to be picking up later. You bought a Chromebook?
I did buy a Chromebook, yes.
And that thing is really sort of meant to just open up and start using, right?
Exactly, yeah.
And technology in general has really just moved in a way where you pick it up and you start using it. If you want to search for something, there's a magnifying glass. You click that.
Yeah.
You want to befriend somebody, there's two little heads. Now you're friends. You know, it's really made for anybody to use.
Yeah, the end user experience is really dialed in.
Right. And Google has been doing their part to make SEO this way as well. There is a huge, because Google's algorithm is reading your site and your intentions so well that really you can do a huge amount of your own marketing really just by being you.
Yeah.
You know, by being you, by being the real you, by putting your message on there, by linking like a normal person that's like linking, okay, well, somebody's going to be here, they're going to want to know about this, and we're going to link it. And Google is really sort of reading that stuff to the point where I would say, you know, you can't get heavily competitive, but, man, you could get in there without really knowing too much.
Yeah, it's really – so the great thing about this, and I think there's a reason that this is happening almost naturally, is, you know, 20 years ago, Google had to depend – I say Google, all search engines had to depend on really strange clues.
Right.
To understand what your website is about. Today, with you know, how advanced these algorithms are and how smart the Googlebot has become, it's trying to become a human being. So simply by talking to your customers the way you would talk to your customers, Google, trying to understand and think like your customer, will pick up on that.
Right.
And that's all you have to do. Just be honest, be blunt. Say exactly what you mean on each page.
Right.
And that's, you're 90% there.
Yeah, I would say so much of SEO has become conversion and page speed.
Mm-hmm.
It's not necessarily them getting there. It's once they get there, what do they got?
Mm-hmm.
You know. So that's what we're going to be covering when we come back. But, you know, before we do that, maybe we'll run over a couple of things in the news here. The Moz, you actually brought this to my attention. We were thinking about doing a segment about this, but Moz has their beginning SEO, and you say they just released a part four. And I don't know if this really counts as news, but for those of you out there that don't know, Moz is really the A number one website as far as SEO and website marketing. They are the Pepsi. They're the Pepsi and the Coke of that. I'm not sure that's your best example, but so if you're really getting started, that's a great place to go.
Yeah.
You know. And then I know this is kind of ridiculous, and I know it's not too technological, but I mean it's not too business markety, but I gotta talk about the Space Force.
All right.
So the Space Force came out, you know, Trump dropped Space Force, you know, a month or two ago, maybe more.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it was in the middle of some, whatever the crisis of the week was. And, you know, but there's always a crisis every week, you know, it's the way the world works.
Yeah.
You know, I don't care what side you sit on. Whoever's president at the time has a crisis every week. And there's a lot of political games back and forth, but I got to say, when I heard Space Force, I'm just all, I think it's kind of ridiculous we haven't had this thing already, you know?
Yeah. I mean, that's kind of where everything's going.
Yeah, and for full transparency, you know, I'm definitely left of center, you know? But I'm still way Space Force, man.
Yeah, I mean, just how advanced everyone is getting, it's the new fort, you know.
Absolutely. And, like, you know, people are joking, like, oh, they're going to be fighting aliens, blah, blah, blah. No, they're not going to be fighting aliens, you know. I was watching Michiru Kaku, and he was talking about how the United States pulls in geniuses from all around the world, and that rich people create jobs, and corporations create jobs, but he says that these geniuses that we bring in from all around the world, they create industries. And, like, there is an industry in space out there,
mm-hmm.
you know, and we're just learning that. And for anybody out there who's scoffing, the real reason why there hasn't been an industry in space before is because the price that it cost us to get a pound into space.
Yeah.
You know, and that's come down exponentially.
Yeah.
And it's going to come down more. And as soon as we get it down to a point where it's cost effective, there's a lot of money to be had mm-hmm. up there, you know.
Oh, yeah.
And plus, you know, you want all your GPS protected.
Yeah.
By cool uniforms.
I mean, we have a lot of infrastructures up there already. And so naturally, you would want to protect that and mm-hmm. keep it safe so it does its job.
And plus, I'm a nerd. And so
I think that's really the core of this whole conversation.
I think it's really cool when they refer to things as space assets.
Yeah.
I'm just like, yeah, we got space assets. Yeah. This is great. So
what was it, Starship Troopers?
Yeah.
That's what I'm thinking this is going to look like. So I'm excited.
Oh, man, that movie was just terrible.
Sorry.
All right. You're listening to The Being Found Show. When we come on back, we are going to be talking about 6 ways that you can really help your SEO without paying somebody. You can just get in there and you can get started. This is The Being Found Show.
Stop anywhere I go. I think about it every day and night. I can't let go.
purpose-driven banking. That's the vision behind the founding of Five Star Bank in 1999. Services inspired by partnership and defined by shared vision and goals. Five Star Bank, a champion of local economic development and community stewardship. Your success is their success. Now that's smart people doing good business. In a world that's both more connected and more isolated by high tech, Five Star Bank brings you a personal touch to small business banking, cash management, and online services. Five Star Bank, consistently rated among the very best by industry associations, rating agencies, and of course, customers and partners just like you. Your partner in success is Five Star Bank. FiveStarBank.com. Visit your local branch at 358 Hartnell in Reading. Progressive, professional, personal. That's Five Star Bank. Equal housing lender, member FDIC.
The average adult is issued 32 troopers that, with proper care and just a little discipline, should serve you well during your entire tour of duty on this planet. They're called your teeth. But when your platoon gets out of line, holes in the formation, or other problems, you need to call in an expert, like General, Dr. William Farrell, with decades of experience keeping those troops in line and executing their assigned duties properly and dependably. If you'd rather not be there while he reestablishes order amongst the troops, Dr. Farrell offers sedation dentistry. He and his highly trained staff will whip your troops into shape without any discomfort. And having served himself in both the Navy and the Marine Corps, Dr. Farrell offers special consideration to veterans. Let him take the best care of your platoon of teeth, and they will serve you always. Call 547-5757 or visit palosidrodentistry.com. At ease.
And for a limited time, Dr. Farrell is offering x-ray, exam, and cleaning for just $175. Call 547-5757 to schedule your visit. Analog living in a digital world. Every week on Boomer Tech Radio, we offer up the latest tech news you can use. Hi, it's Bob Belangi. It's even easier to listen to the show now that we're on iTunes. You'll find our archives and articles at BoomerTechRadio.com, and the show is streamed live at KCNR1460.com. We review the latest goodies, gadgets, and gizmos, and make sure you are up to date on the latest tech trend. Boomer Tech Radio, Saturday from noon to 2 p.m. on KCNR 1460, and now available as a podcast on iTunes.
If the American people ever allow private banks to control the issuance of their currency, first by inflation, then by deflation, the banks and the corporations that will grow up around them will deprive the people of all their property until their children wake up homeless on the continent their fathers conquered.
We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Revolution has started.
Sovereign Minds, now on Sundays, 10 to noon.
Been driving all night long just to reach our destination in your town. We've come 500 miles, everyone's asleep tonight.
All right, welcome back to the Being Found Show. And we are talking about six local tips for small businesses. And this article, for small business SEO success, this article is on searchengineland.com. We're going to break it down a little bit, but feel free to go there. You can read along in your workbook. But when we found this article, and Jake actually found this article, it really lays it out in a really realistic sort of easy way to get started. Now, somebody maybe can't do everything, but you can do some of it.
Yep. Yeah,
and exactly. And there's actually some things here that I maybe disagree with a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, I would say... definitely in their priorities, they're all great things. Whether or not this thing is more important than this thing, that's really the question. The only hang-ups I see.
Right.
But they're all great ideas still. Why not do it?
So the number one is pretty obvious. That's properly optimize information on your business's website.
Mm-hmm.
That sort of sounds like all of SEO to people who don't understand SEO. So step one is all of SEO. What's up with that? So they give us some bullet points here. Create a domain name that reflects your business type and its location. For example, Billy's Bakery uses the domain name billysbakerynyc.com, which includes it all.
Yeah, and this is a good point. I mean, I agree. This is it's easy to remember. You've got the name of your business. You've got your location. If you don't have all of these things, don't go change it.
Yes,
you don't
absolutely.
Need to. I mean, if you If you already have your domain and you already have your website set up,
mm-hmm.
don't change it. You can make that domain name work just fine for you.
You can. And you know, there are examples where you need to change it. I had one situation where somebody wasn't ranking and they were like, let's say, Mike's Exterminator.
Mm-hmm.
And so it basically had M-I-K-E-S-E-X Terminator. So it had a word in it that we were questionable about if that was affecting our rankings.
I see.
And also, if you're just not gaining any traction, there may come a time that your SEO says, you know, maybe we need to switch up this domain, because domain names sometimes have history, and sometimes they carry shady history that you didn't apply to that domain name, and it's really hard to get that cleared up. But for the most part, if you're getting a brand new domain name, I agree with this.
Yeah, totally. Absolutely.
Now, what this isn't doing that a lot of people have done and would tell you to do would be to keyword stuff it. Like, for years, people were changing their business name to, you know, Redding Grass Cutting, you know, or something like that, where they basically changed their business name to be their location in their service.
Yeah, and probably in some of those ancient search engines actually did care about those keywords. That's not the case.
There was a time that it worked. Yeah. So this Billy's Bakery NYC.com is actually really perfect, because it's not only is it a service and a location, but it's got some branding in there. It's really a great example.
Yeah.
All right. Add keywords on page titles that identify with your business, its services, and its location.
This is so simple. If you're building your website or maintaining your website, keep it simple. I mean, if you're Billy's Bakery,
right,
and you sell pastries and you want to, you know, rank for that, the title can be Billy's Bakery's Pastries.
Right.
Very simple stuff. Where I see people getting in trouble here is they want to be coy, they want to be hip, they want to, you know, say something amazing, and then the title of the page ends up being a visceral, creamy experience because they think it sounds artsy. Well,
it sounds terrible.
Well, okay, that was okay, poor example, but you get what I'm saying.
Yeah.
You know, they want to be
sounds
cool.
Sounds like something Mike's Exterminator
would do. Yeah, but then, you know, how does a bot actually know what this page is about? You use three words that could apply to anything.
Right. Yeah, I my mother-in-law, second time I brought her up, Kathy, see ya. How are you doing out there? I was trying to find something for her. She, you know, was looking for something to do, so I went to her church's website. And the title tag, I'll leave her church out of it, but the title tag for the church was like, we promote love and disciples. And I'm just all like, I don't know. I'm not sure that's a great title tag, but people do need to realize that your title tag is potentially showing up in search engines as your call to action. You know, is somebody going to click it? But Google, for the most part, rewrites your title tag and your meta description
when it's
showing up on the page. All right. Oh, and for those of you that don't know a title tag, go to any website and look up at the tab above the URL in your browser, and at the tab up at the very top, you'll see what the title tag is. And if you can't see the whole thing, you can hover over it. It'll show you. All right. Incorporate your business's name, address, and phone number information in not only the home page or contact page, but each individual page of your website. Once again, this is a no-brainer.
Yeah.
First of all, name, address, phone number has an acronym that we all use. It's called NAPS. Name, address, phone number, lowercase s. I've changed it to name, address, phone number with a big S because NAPS is actually older than the computer. It's an old marketing term that was used for all sorts of stuff. And I personally have made the lowercase s a large S because that'll be stuff. because, you know, there's other things you should have in there, your web address, maybe your email. If social media marketing is a big part of what you're doing, you need to have your Facebook in there. But so having your name, address, and phone number on every page. And this is a no-brainer, and the reason why this is a no-brainer is because if you have a business, people need to be able to contact you if they're going to give you money.
This is true.
You know, and so you need to, I don't know how to put that any more plainly. You know, it's very frustrating. I'm automatically suspect if I go to any site and I don't see a phone number.
Yeah. You know, I mean,
even outside of service businesses,
mm-hmm.
any site that I go to and I don't see a phone number at all, I don't know about this.
And it's doubly important, because there are citation robots. I'll just throw an example out. Yelp is an example.
Right.
You don't have to go to Yelp and make your account.
Right.
If you don't, Yelp will send a bot to your website and pull information off of it.
Yeah.
If they can't find that information, or even worse, if they find the wrong information, they're going to make an erroneous account with bad information. People are going to be dialing the wrong number, going to the wrong location. So having this information on your website, easy to find, accurate.
Right. And it's called a citation aggregator. And it can be exponentially bad because other sites will aggregate off of aggregators.
Mm-hmm.
And so if that wrong information gets out there, there's been more than one time that I've been talking with Jake on Skype and seen his face turn beet red as he's trying to clean up citations via Bright Local.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
And it's just a headache, you know. Yeah. It's really hard because those citation sites that aggregated it, no phone numbers. You can't call them. You know, they're not answering, right. You know. You got to aggregate from the top.
Yeah.
All right. What do we got here? In addition to highlighting your offerings, ensure your website copy includes as much about your local area as possible to further associate your business with the nearby vicinity. For example, note what section of town you're in, what sports team plays across the street, or what park around the corner. Not only will this be added info to help improve your website copy for customers, it will also boost your search visibility and local business. I agree with that, but here's the part that I don't. While this is the longest thing that they have in there, they're really not explaining that everything has to have intent and purpose. You know, I see a lot of people like stuffing this information in there, and it totally just has nothing to do with what you're seeing. And you're obviously trying to manipulate the stuff. You know, you got to get it in there in a way that matters. You know, are you a fan of the team? Is the park around the corner a great landmark to find your business?
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's a lot of ways to incorporate your local community into your website without seeming like you're a shady robot.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And, you know, if you just write naturally, you know, write as if you are talking to one of your clients.
Right.
And you'll probably get 90% there.
Right.
Yeah.
And, you know, touting your own town. You know, touting your local economy, talking up your stuff, you know, you can't go wrong there. That is highly important. We're definitely seeing that here now,
mm-hmm.
you know, where local community support is important. So, man, there's actually quite a bit in here of information,
yeah.
But it is all really sort of easy to do. So we're going to go to commercial break here, and when we come back, we're going to talk about secure, build out, and update your business listings on local websites. That's the citations that we were talking about earlier and a few other things. So come on back. It's pretty exciting. So
yeah. Ready to make more money, break more ground, and achieve more of your life's goals? With free tuition at Shasta College, now is your chance to get more out of life. We all know that education is the key to a bigger paycheck and a brighter future, and Shasta College is committed to providing the best in affordable, accessible higher education that opens more doors. Whether you're looking to transfer to a bachelor's degree program, complete a professional degree, or secure a certification in a high-demand field, there's never been a better time to start demanding more. Shasta College grads are building more businesses, saving more lives, and attending more four-year universities. And with more programs and classes to choose from, what more could you ask for? Well, since you asked, if you're a first-time full-time student, the Shasta Promise Program will cover your entire tuition for the first year. That's right, your Shasta College tuition is free. A new semester starts soon. Enroll now before the class time you want is gone. Start getting more out of your future today. Visit shastacollege.edu/apply or call 530-242-7500 to enroll now. Shasta College, more possibilities.
A full-service spa is our most amazing amenity at Wind River Resort and Casino that will cleanse away your stress and renew you. Step inside and begin a relaxing journey that will soothe the mind and awaken the spirit at Wind River Spa. Indulge in our beautiful spa overlooking the calming waters of Clear Creek. Let us help you unwind your mind, body, and soul with catered and customized treatments. Our spa is modern, serene, and clean here at Wind River Spa. Our exceptional menu of treatments allows you to select services that will calm the mind, body, and soul. Spend an hour or spend a day with us, offering massage, facials, nail care, and waxing, featuring farmhouse fresh products for skincare and body treatments. We're the only spa in Reading that has a steam sauna for both men and women. Book your appointment today at 530-245-9494. Download the Wind River app. Gift certificates available for purchase. Relaxation is better at the river.
This Hawaiian mini vacation is brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. So what does professional office cleaning have to do with relaxing in a tropical paradise? Frankly, nothing. But Maui Bob and the crew want to remind you to be sure to take the time for what's important in this workaday world. Family, friends, and yes, even yourself. And if their professional office cleaning services can help you make that time, give them a call at 221-5868. This Hawaiian mini vacation was brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, 221-5868.
Founded in 1995, GI Pathology is the only physician-owned laboratory in the United States dedicated solely to the practice of gastrointestinal and liver pathology. The company provides the highest quality GI pathology diagnosis made exclusively by one of our fellowship-trained gastrointestinal and liver pathologists. GI Pathology delivers results to its Northern California client base within an industry-leading 24 hours. Call 888-2-GI-PATH or go to www.gipath.com for more information.
You know, this time of year in Shasta County, the need to heat your home is probably the last thing on your mind, right? Well, my friend SSD Oil says this is the ideal time to trade in your old monitor heater on a spanking new Toyotomi and save yourself up to $250. Your qualifying model monitor heater earns you a huge allowance on a Toyo stove that will keep you warm and cozy all winter long. This deal is as hot as a Reading sidewalk in summer. SSD Oil, 241-1167, 241-1167.
What's the matter with the clothes I'm wearing? Can't you tell that your tie's too wide? Maybe I should buy some old tab collars. Welcome back to the Age of Jive.
All right, welcome back to the Age of Jive and the Being Found Show. We are discussing, small, simple things, six local tips for small businesses SEO success. Our last segment was tip one. You know, I don't know if we're going to get through all
six. I don't think we are. This might be a two week show.
Yeah, but I got to say that tip one was chock full of just really digestible, easy information.
Yeah, and it's important to. I mean, I don't want to take up too much time here, but a quick story. So I was in the Marines for 8 years. We fired weapons very often, and once a year we'd go to the range and have the most basic of basic training. Someone would stand up in front of me and say, hey, this is an M16.
Mm-hmm.
this is the bullet that goes in the M16. This is your magazine. And it's like, well, this is really basic stuff. But you have to revisit this stuff from time to time. That's what we're doing today. Just revisiting this basic stuff, making sure you have a foundation in it, and then letting everyone go again.
So. Yeah, that's a good point. Especially, I think with any specialized career, pulling it out of just what the businesses can do up to our level, it's easy to get trapped down the rabbit hole.
Yeah.
And sort of like spend hours on something that really is ineffective without the framework.
Yep.
Yeah. All right. So secure, build out, and update your business's listing on local websites. Perhaps one of the most effective ways to boost local SEO is to ensure the availability and consistency of your business's listings information across a myriad of third-party sources. They're getting creative with their terms.
Yeah.
When your business isn't listed or information listed about it is incomplete or inaccurate, as Jake was saying earlier, there is a risk of diminishing or negatively impacting your business's placement in search results. Now, we should probably explain what this is before going into what you can do. What this is basically saying is you have listings, just like imagine the Yellow Pages, only free, and now imagine that the internet is full of thousands of them.
Yeah.
Millions. Okay? So that's what's going on here. You got your listings all over the place. And, the obvious thing would be, we got our listings because if somebody goes there, if somebody goes to Dex Knows, they can link back to our site. I don't know. I don't think anybody's going to Dex Knows, and I think they're probably not linking to your site from it. But what this is doing is creating trust and consistency. So when Google reads all these things and says, your phone number is 555-5555 on 1,000 websites and your website, Google says, we trust that.
Mm-hmm.
We trust that information. That information is consistent. There it is.
Yeah.
And the more trustworthy your website is, the more Google's going to say, well, let's serve that puppy up.
Yep.
So, go ahead.
If I can add one more thing to that, the rule of 80-20 applies here as well. 80% of the power of some of these is going to come from about 20% of the actual listings themselves.
No, totally.
So consider the top 20, Facebook, Yelp, Yellow Pages, those important ones.
Dex Knows. I'm sorry, Dex.
So, if you can just get in 20, even though there's hundreds and thousands, forget thinking about the hundreds, forget thinking about the thousands. Try and get good in the top 20, and I've said this several times, you're 90% there.
You are. Yeah, without a doubt. All right, so our first action item is search leading local listings websites ranging from Dex Knows, Facebooks, and Google to Yelp, YP, Yellow Book to ensure that your business is listed and that you have claimed your listing. There's definitely an easier way to do this. So for you noobs out there... For you noobs, the word noob means that you're new and you don't know what you're talking about. So for you noobs out there, when you search in Google, if you put a word in quotes, it will only return results that contain that word. So put your business name in quotes and search and bring up all the websites that aren't yours. And check and see if the information is right and consistent. Then try maybe a variation or a part of your business name just in case that they have your business name wrong. And that's a good way to get started to find and weed out the big ones. Because Google immediately is going to serve you up the big ones.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's a realistic way to get started here. Another way is to, like Jake said, just search up top 20 citations, and then go to each of those sites and see if you're on there.
Mm-hmm.
And frankly, if you're not on there, it's a lot easier.
Oh, yes.
So much easier.
Yeah. Yeah, the real, you're going to encounter situations where you see incorrect business information and you attempt to correct it, and they're going to ask you to create an account and, verify that you are the business owner.
Right.
It can get tedious. There are people out there who can help you do that. If you don't want to do that, Moz, just to mention one, Moz Local is one of those.
All right. Yeah. Moz is,
For about $100 a year, which is not a bad price.
I think that Moz is really the way to get started, and then you just do your cleanup around that. Build out your listings with photos, videos, websites, URLs, and other key informations to make your listings more informative and attractive to potential customers. So my buddy Matt Morgan from Optimize Worldwide here in town, he coined this phrase. I think he coined it. I don't know. He used to refer to this as profile completeness. And it makes a lot of sense, you know, that basically if you have the opportunity to share about your business, take it. You know, don't just put your stuff in there and then share and then do your thing, you know. Fill it out, put in the photos and stuff like that. So here's why, for two reasons. One is if somebody comes to it, yay, they got something. They got something to read. They got something to convert. They see that you're a real thing. And then for two, it also adds weight to that page that's linking back to your site. So let's say your competitor didn't do this, but you did. Now you have a page that's a little bit more valuable than their page. And it's linking back to your site, making your site a little bit more valuable. So if you have the opportunity, fill it out.
Yeah, and Google has put some hard numbers behind that statistic. I don't recall what they were exactly, but in Google My Business, they'll actually tell you by adding this many photos, you can expect a this percent increase in viewers to this citation, which you know, is just facts behind what we are saying here.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. All right. So ensure that you're – so a lot of this is going to cover the same stuff that we were already saying. We got ahead of ourselves. Ensure that your business is listed in the appropriate categories, relevant keywords. Billy's Bakery is the example they put here, includes both the business type and the location. However, don't overdo it with unnecessary keywords in the business name, like Billy's Bakeries, cookies, cakes, hot chocolate, or search engines will take note and it will negatively affect you. Basically, what this is saying is be consistent and fill out that profile stuff. So it's saying here, put yourself in the relevant categories. Don't go through and fill out every category going like, oh, well, I'll get everybody.
Right, you right, know, exactly.
People who are looking for a plumber that are like maybe also interested in a brownie.
In fact, we should have said this right up front in this segment. Before you start doing this, best thing to do, create yourself a spreadsheet of immovable or non-negotiable business identification. Every time I will use this phone number, every time I will use this business name, right down to the comma and whether or not it's an ampersand or an and. Make sure you have that spreadsheet and title it your, you know, your Master Naps spreadsheet so that you don't accidentally go through, you know, one day you might use an ampersand, one day you might use an and.
I love that. It is my favorite when I'm dealing with that with businesses and they're just all, oh, we're Billy's Bakery. We're Billy's Bakery NYC. We're Billy's Bakery NYC, LLC.
Yeah.
We're Bill's Bakery. we're bakery owned by Bill. And you finally have to talk to them and you say, what is your business name?
Yeah.
And they're all, duh, we're Bill's Bakery. And you're all, no. Like, can I see the paperwork? What is your business name? Yeah. You know, and like, they just don't really understand that consistency is key. Mm-hmm. Oh, man, this commercial break just snuck up on us.
Yeah.
All right. So when we come back, we're going to talk about ensure an appropriate link strategy. And that'll get us halfway through this article, and we'll pick it up next week. You're listening to The Being Found Show, helping your business be found.
Summer, summer, summer. It's like a merry-go-round. I'm Dr. Nancy Sutton Pierce, the host of the Conscious Living Show, every Saturday, 11 to noon, here on KCNR 1460. You'll laugh, cry, and perhaps be shocked by my frank and honest conversations. I often team up with my husband, Dr. Mark Pierce, and no one makes me squirm or giggle quite like he can. We are the yin-yang, east-west, of most topics, yet you can always feel the love and respect between us. Visit DrNancySuttonPierce.com to keep this conversation going.
If you're looking into a remodeled kitchen, bathroom, or backyard patio, there's a lot of choices, but only one leader, Estate Granite and Things.
This is Carl Bott. My Huber has such a professional attitude and a can-do work ethic that makes him a joy to work with. Mike and his crew worked to have our new kitchen finished in 5 days while Linda and I went on vacation. We came back to a true work of art.
Hi, this is Brian Salato, broker and co-owner of The Real Estate Group. In today's competitive market, I think what's important is that the house is dialed in and turnkey. And what's important is that the kitchen has been renovated, the bathrooms have been renovated, granite, beautiful cabinetry. Those things make a significant difference.
Mike at Estate Granite has an eye for detail, an attention to perfection, and a quality build crew that are masters of their craft. Mike was there from start to finish.
Hi, this is Mike from Estate Granite and Things. I know how important quality to a homeowner is, so give me a call at 241-STONE or come by our showroom at 4900 Mountain Lakes Boulevard, Estate Granite and Things, or visit us at EstateGranite.com.
If the American people ever allow private banks to control the issuance of their currency, first by inflation, then by deflation, the banks and the corporations that will grow up around them will deprive the people of all their property until their children wake up homeless on the continent their fathers conquered.
We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Revolution has started.
Sovereign Minds, now on Sundays, 10 to noon.
Hi, I'm Sharon Clark of Home Helpers. It's amazing to look back at all the families we've touched since 2004, but our clients say it best.
I want to express my deep appreciation for the love and support you and your...
So fortunate to have an organization like Home Helpers.
You never know how much your contribution meant or how greatly you touched our lives.
Thank you so much for helping me care for my husband.
After hearing what it's meant to them, I truly can't imagine doing anything else. When you need help for your loved one, choose Home Helpers. There is no place like home.
I think one great benefit to having a Turtle Bay membership, I love that it's one place we can go to and bring our family, and there's something for everybody. There's activities for our one-year-old to do, and there's also exhibits and things for our six-year-old to do, and it's just a good variety of things for all ages.
We're members of Turtle Bay because I think education is really important, and I think kids need to learn that they can learn out of the classroom and learn in real life, and I think Turtle Bay brings that experience to them as they can see things that they see out and about outside of school and learn something.
Back to the Being Found Show. We're talking about six local tips for small business SEO success. We're basically discussing an article on searchengineland.com, which is a great website. Maybe it's a great website for all levels, you know, but when you go into it, if you're a beginner, just search up beginner stuff. You'll find awesome beginner stuff. If you're if you're advanced and you do this stuff for a living, that stuff's in there too, you know. I mean, Search Engine Land is like Moz, where it really is covering all levels. So when you first go to something like Moz or Search Engine Land, you're going to be overwhelmed. You're going to be all like, whoa, you know. But just search for that word beginner, and you will find a place that is very welcoming to you.
That's right.
It's like soup at grandma's. All right, so we're talking about SEO success for small business, six local tips. Number three is ensure an appropriate link strategy. Links from your website to other related websites and vice versa play a role in your business's SEO visibility because they help to establish the authenticity and credibility of your business. But trying to game systems by leveraging unrelated links will damage visibility over time. So, this is something, a word I probably should have used before with when you're creating your title tags or when you're putting yourself in categories, relevancy. If it's not relevant to you, don't do it.
Yep.
And so if something isn't relevant to you and it's not something natural, just don't do it. So Backlinks is something that's been really sort of confusing to people. They don't really understand. Everybody goes, oh, well, we need more backlinks, more backlinks, more backlinks. But they don't understand what the purpose of the backlink is. So let's go through this list, and I'm sure we'll flush out some purpose here for people. Consistently share links to your website via your Facebook, Twitter, and other social media channels, and encourage others to pass along the information as well.
Yeah, I mean, this is a pretty simple thing. If you're a small business owner, let's just say you, I don't know, install dishes, say, for locals. You might just want to put something up on your Facebook page, say, hey, I'm running this special, here's the deal. Click this link to find out more. Very yeah. simple.
Very simple.
And you have a link back to your website, and yeah, it's effective.
Yeah, well, what you just said there, it's maybe a little bit off topic, but I would love to see a situation where part of my onboarding for businesses was that they needed to commit to a 12-month schedule where for the next 12 months, each month, you just tell me what your special is going to be so that we have something to talk about, you know, something new to talk about, something new to share people, some value to give to them, and something that they'll share. So here's where this linking helps here. So now you've linked. So Google says, oh, there's a link. That's great. Somebody follows that link, hangs out on your website and converts, and Google says, hey, that's great. Now there's some people using it. Somebody shares that link and Google says, hey, that's great. Some people are sharing it. Somebody follows what's been shared and comes to your website and converts, and Google says, this is getting great. But if you don't put yourself out there, it's just not going to happen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I maybe some high level, almost philosophical or doctrinal sort of SEO here is that Google and other search engines are shifting towards this idea of mission accomplishment as SEO ranking. So if Google sees someone accomplishing their mission by following a link, then that is what they really want to see. Well, it's one way they're going to rank your website higher.
Right.
A person, for example, who sees that thing on Facebook, oh, you know, a deal on a satellite dish on my house, and then they go there, and then Google watches them go to your website and then dial your phone number, they consider that mission accomplishment. They found something out.
Right. So when you're driving traffic to your website, you have two goals. Goal number one, convert. Get their money, get them on the phone, blah, blah, blah. Trade for your services. I don't mean just get their money. I mean, you know, create a valuable exchange for their money for quality services.
Not a holdout.
Right. And but your number two mission is to help them about their way on the internet.
Mm-hmm.
So provide value with your page. Some people are going to come to your page and they're not going to convert. So with those people, you provide value. And that would be a secondary mission, you know. But, yeah, I agree. If, especially in services, if, you know, Google is in the business of providing quality results. Which means that somebody comes to Google and the results that they give them make them want to continue using Google. So mission accomplished is what they're trying to do.
Yeah.
They're trying to feed you up what you need. Feed you what you need. There's some sort of a thing in there. I'll figure it out. Include links to your website in email newsletters and other updates to customers. Once again, this is not much different than social media, email newsletters. Everybody's all, who cares about email? I hate it, blah, blah, blah. Well, people pick up your email newsletters. Sometimes they get aggregated out to web pages. A lot of people like to communicate via email, so don't scoff at that.
Yeah, and if you want to see some hard numbers on this, go to our website. I think it was probably a month ago we covered some numbers on newsletters emails.
Right.
They're effective.
They are effective.
Check out those numbers.
Right. Host or sponsor local events. This is something we've been talking about here.
Yeah.
Or provide discounts for neighborhood students and then encourage neighborhood businesses, the local chamber of commerce, charity organizations, and other partners you link to your website and about talk about those activities. This is kind of what I was talking about with the schedule. You know, if all you do is install dishes, unless somebody needs a dish, They don't care about you.
Yeah.
You know, you are a local business. You want locals to be all, I want to be local strong and I want to shop at this local business. Well, if you expect that out of the community, you need to be about local as well. You need to put back into the community. And that doesn't need to be money. And frankly, it doesn't even need to be a huge amount of time. It can solely be talking about it, spreading the word, supporting people with words. There's a lot of ways that you can do this with very little time and very little money, because I'm aware, you know, the bottom line for a local business is
important
and varying. You know, there are some times of the, I mean, it can vary with the time of the year, you know, yeah, to the point where you're just all like, yeah, we got to scrape by through winter, or, you know.
And really consider what you do for a living. When you take that into consideration, you can do something for less money and more effectively than anyone else in your town. I'm just thinking about, say, for our business. Mm-hmm. If we wanted to help a charity out, which we do, and an effective way for us to help that charity out is to actually give our services to them because they have a great deal of value.
Right.
And, you know, it's not really affecting the bottom line other than we put a lot of time into it.
Right.
You know, it's not we're giving them value and we're not necessarily taking money out of the bank account to do it.
Right, right. And, I mean, this show's a prime example. Obviously, here we're on local radio and we're giving away what we do.
Yeah.
You know. Yeah. So create a local directory of community resources, including your favorite nearby restaurant stores, cultural attractions, to provide an opportunity for you to link to others, them to return the favor. Even consider starting a blog where you can talk about your business neighborhood and link to other things of interest. Mm-hmm. So as far as the resource page, on a higher level SEO, we refer to this as link bait.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure a lot of you fall victim to clickbait. I have to admit I do too. You know, I'm like sitting there working and then all of a sudden I'm trying to figure out why Hollywood won't hire Keanu Reeves anymore. And I'm like, oh, what am I doing? This is like, there's something wrong with me, you know, but, so link bait is basically creating a page of value that other people would want to link to because it's valuable.
Mm-hmm.
And so by creating these things on your sites, really what it comes down to is value. And that word I used earlier that I totally forget, relevancy.
Ah, yeah.
Value and relevancy. You know, and when you're linking to these other businesses, it's like you're creating an impromptu leads group. You know, you're connecting to other businesses that you care about in your local community and so on and so forth. You know, unfortunately, we're here at the end of the show.
Yeah, I know. We haven't made it through this.
So, however, be sure that your link strategy is authentic and that you are linking. Of course, also do not create link schemes or spamming. All right. So this last one, just to finish it up, is basically be natural.
Yeah.
Don't do shady stuff. In SEO, it's always called black hat and white hat. White hat's the good guy. Black hat's the bad guy. Be the good guy. All right, so you've been listening to the Being Found Show. Next week, we're going to pick up the other three things. And if you missed out on any of this, you can catch us online at beingfound.com or on Facebook. Search up the Being Found Show. I'm your host, Chauncey, and this is my other host, Jake. Have a good weekend.
The news is brought to you on KCNR, Shasta, Redding, by Tobacco and Brew. Come see their newly remodeled store at 2143 Hilltop Drive in Reading. Tobacco and Brew, open 7 days a week.
Breaking news this hour from townhall.com. I'm Bob Agnew in Washington. An investigation is underway today after a man stole a Horizon Air passenger aircraft last night at SeaTac Airport.
The crash involved, apparently, as far as we can tell, just one person on board who stole the plane from SeaTac Airport.
It's Pierce County Sheriff Paul Pastor, who says there's no indication the public was ever in danger.
There was no indication that he did this to threaten anybody. There's no indication of any kind of terrorist link or anything like that. Apparently, he was in contact with the tower while he was flying the airplane.
The pilot was chased by military jets before crashing into an island in Puget Sound. Republican U.S. Representative Chris Collins says he will no longer run for re-election. He was charged this week with insider trading. He says he's done nothing wrong but is getting out for the good of the party, his constituents, and President Trump. Senate Republicans have scheduled confirmation hearings for Supreme Court nominee Brett Kavanaugh.
Over Democratic objections, Senate confirmation hearings for Supreme Court nominee Brett Kavanaugh will start the first week of September. Judiciary Committee Chairman Chuck Grassley says there will be up to 4 days of review. Democrats argue the process is being rushed and they've only seen cherry-picked files released by Attorney Bill Burke, who's compiling and vetting documents related to Kavanaugh's work for President George W. Bush in the White House Counsel's Office and on independent counsel Kenneth Starr's investigation of President Bill Clinton. The White House wants Kavanaugh confirmed before the November elections. Mike Gracia, Washington.
Scientists say that powerful Indonesian earthquake that killed nearly 400 people lifted the island by about 10 inches.
Satellite mapping of Lombok over the past few days has allowed scientists at NASA's Jet Propulsion Lab to map what they call ground deformation.
That's correspondent Stephen Wright at nearby Jakarta, Indonesia. Meanwhile, the search and rescue work goes on the island of Lombok. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Message and data rates may apply. Texting enrolls for recurring text messages.
Nice game. Man, you're really playing hard today.
Yeah, it shows what a great night's sleep will do. You know, since I started using Z-Quiet for my snoring, there's no more waking up getting elbowed, and no more moving to the couch in the middle of the night. You know, for the first time in years, the snoring's gone, and my wife and I both wake up feeling great. It's amazing, so easy to use, and it worked the very first night.
I'm Dan Webster, co-founder of Z-Quiet. For years, I was off my game due to snoring. My wife Trina and I were desperate for a solution, and we found it with Z-Quiet. There's nothing better than waking up feeling rested, happy, and best of all, in the same bed. So if you're ready to score extra points in the bedroom, get Z-Quiet.
Z-Quiet fits both men and women, and right now you can try it risk-free for a full 30 days for just $9.95. Just text SLEEP to 246810 or go to GetZQuiet.com. Text SLEEP to 246810 or go to GetZQuiet.com.
The former school groundskeeper who won a $289 million verdict in a lawsuit alleging Roundup weed killer contributed to his terminal cancer says he hopes the decision is the first of many against Monsanto. Attorney Brent Weisner represented Dwayne Johnson.
This case was historic. Every major known human carcinogen had a moment like this, a moment when the science finally caught up.
A New Mexico property owner says he told authorities in late spring that he met the father of a missing Georgia boy after he and others arrived in the area where he built a squalid desert compound. Jason Badger says he's surprised they didn't take action.
It's just filthy. It's disgusting. It's not a place to have 11 children at all. 12 children.
Jason Badger says he doesn't understand why authorities didn't follow up on the tip. That man was being sought in Georgia in the disappearance of his son. Breaking news at townhall.com. Correspondent Jackie Quinn says a complaint was sent to the Justice Department this week alleging that President Trump is still blocking critics from his Twitter account.
Guardians of free speech at Columbia University sent 41 names to the Justice Department, saying those Twitter users, mostly critics of President Trump, are still blocked from his account. A judge criticized the president in May, ruling that politicians who use Twitter for public business must allow people a chance to respond.
That's correspondent Jackie Quinn. The counting of the last ballots in the tight and contentious Republican primary for Kansas governor may stretch out over the next week and still might not settle the race. Secretary of State Chris Kobach was holding only a very small lead over Governor Jeff Collier with more than 311,000 votes cast, but the state's 105 counties still must review nearly 9,000 provisional ballots. More details at townhall.com. From Washington, I'm Bob Agnew.
The views expressed and the opinions given by the individual hosts and their guests do not necessarily express those of KCNR Radio and its sponsors. All shows are independently owned and broadcast for entertainment purposes only. Readers and listeners are advised that neither KCNR Radio nor its owners and agents shall be held liable for the content of this program.
Hello, my darlings, and welcome to Radio Wasteland, the best show on the planet about the paranormal, government conspiracies, and all things in between. I'm your host, Chauncey Allworth, and this is my co-host, Sean. Sean, how are you doing tonight?
Oh, boy, how am I doing?
I don't know. I just asked you.
Yeah, it's a good question. So I'll just say that the name of our show has never been more apt.
Yeah, ain't that the truth?
We are radio coming to you all live from the wasteland.
It totally is the wasteland. For those of you who don't know, on the worldwide market, we are coming out of Redding, California, and around us, 100,000 acres almost has just burned. So Sean is actually calling in from beautiful, wet Washington, right? I don't know. Maybe we lost him. Basically, we didn't know if Sean would be able to call in. We didn't even know if we were going to be able to do the show tonight because it is just so brutally burnt around here, you know. And I kind of grew up as one of those kids who, you know, didn't have a lot of respect for my first responders in this world. But, man, to watch a problem and watch a bunch of people run towards it is really quite eye-opening on the situation. It's like you think about a cop and you think about me and you create a situation. Okay, there's a guy in there with a gun. Who's going to run in and take care of it? And I'm all, well, not me. So hopefully that guy. So I really have a lot of respect for these first responders. Sean, you there?
Oh, yes. I am back. Yes. So I am not actually in the wasteland currently. I am coming to y'all from Squim, which is in Washington. And it has a cool breeze, and you can see Canada just right there across the channel, which, I don't know, makes me feel safe somehow.
Right.
So
nothing feels safer,
I'm
at least more polite than Canada.
Yes.
Right.
The home where I was living has almost certainly burned to a crisp, so that's
really
interesting. Yes.
Oh, really?
Well, that entire neighborhood, really.
Oh, wow. So I didn't know this. I knew that you had evacuated. Well, you were gone, and then the evacuation order came through.
Exactly,
and
yes.
Back.
We were on vacation up in Washington anyway, visiting grandparents. And we were like, oh, boy, it's going to be smoky when we get back down to Redding. Isn't that fun? And then we kept listening to the news, and the fire kept getting larger. And then eventually we realized it makes no sense to go back down, even though that was our plan.
Right.
Stay here.
So
yeah.
You have a wasteland to possibly return to.
Pretty much, I think. It's fair to say.
Well, when and if you do come back, what we need to do is get a single lamp and a couch to put where your house used to be so that we can take a picture of you sitting on it.
Yes.
That would be awesome. We were actually had like a volunteer deal to evacuate, and we decided that we were going to evacuate, you know, just for a couple of days, just to get out of the mess. And if our house burned, well, then it burned. But we didn't have renter's insurance. So we called and we got renter's insurance, and it kicked in at 12:01, which was like 6 hours later. So we sat around and packed up and waited till 12:01. And once the renter's insurance kicked in, well, then we cut out of town for a couple of days.
Yeah.
So for those of you who don't know out there, it really only takes about 6 hours for your renter's insurance to kick in. So, I would get it, you know. And it's cheap. It's so cheap.
Yeah, don't buy it till you need it, you know. It's all good.
Right.
Right, right.
This is the lesson you've learned on KCNR Radio.
Right, right. Well,
you know, why can't Redding... Redding's been in the national news, and it's like it's never in the national news for something fun. It's never, I'm here in Redding, California, where they've developed a new type of cotton candy that's 300% more delicious than the old type of cotton
right.
candy. It's, I'm here in Redding, California, where half of the town is burned to cinders.
Right, where it's hell on earth.
We're giving, yeah.
yeah. And
you
really,
know, it's never fun.
Being hell on earth is really the only reason why we ever make it into the national news, because even... Even when we're not on fire, we'll make it into the national news sometime for just being incredibly hot.
Exactly.
Or for, like, people being abducted or mm-hmm. just really terrible stuff. And, you know, I got to remind the world that while Redding is small, it is, you know, the only hub between, like, Sacramento and, like, anything going on in Oregon. So it's like, you know, you got to give us a little break here.
Yeah, that's true. That is true. But, you know, I'm still just reminded of, you know, the recent It that comes out. And one of the trailers, the kid's like, Derry's not like any town I've ever been in. Kids disappear at three times the national average. And I'm just like, have you been to Redding?
Right. So you think there's a killer clown running around Redding?
I don't know what we have. It's quite possible.
Not anymore now that you're in Washington.
Yeah, well, I'm sitting pretty killer clown-wise. I have no fear of clowns.
Yeah, I really want to move to Washington, but my wife is all about the sun, and she needs the sun, and so she thinks it's going to rain constantly if we move up there.
Isn't your wife, like, the stereotypical goth individual, though?
Yeah, but she can't help it. She was, like, naturally born with, like, pale skin and black
hair. With
the
goth hair. Gene, yeah.
Right, right, to the point
but
where...
But it makes no sense to me that she likes the sun.
She loves it, yeah, I don't know. You know, she's so... genetically gothed out that my kids and her friends used to call her goth mom when they were growing up.
Right. Which is appropriate.
It is appropriate. Yeah. Yeah. There was, we were at this
funny
club
goth.
One time and this girl wanted to fight her over some line in a hot dog stand. And Terry's just all like, yeah, but we were here first. And this girl's all, whatever, Gothica. And Terry's all, what? You know, because she'll wear like a flower in her hair and like some flowery hippie dress. But still, she's Gothica, apparently.
Yeah. Then she would just like look like a goth wearing disguise.
Right. Totally. You're not fooling anybody.
Exactly.
Right. All right. So tonight, our guest, Sean, very exciting. You're probably just going to listen in on this one. But our guest tonight is returning. He's Rob Shelsky. He was here with us before. Yeah. I'm sure you remember where we did time travel
time
evidence.
Time travel fame.
Yeah. And tonight he's going to talk about his book, Invader Moon. So
right.
I'm not sure where your knowledge level is on the possibility that the moon was manufactured and not a naturally occurring body. But mine is pretty low other than knowing that it's a thing out there.
Well, we will be learning about this for the first time, just like all our listeners out there.
Yes, we will. You are listening to Radio Wasteland. When you come on back, we have our guest, Rob Shelsky, to talk about his book, Invader Moon.
This is Carl on the Bot. Join us Monday through Friday from 7 to 9 a.m. for Free Fire Radio, right here in the studios at KCNR 1460. On the week of 13 August, we are joined by Shasta Community College, Doug Wright, attorney at law. What do you need to know about what's happened legally? Sheriff Tom Basinkel with an update of what happened with the car fire. Judy Maxwell of Maxwell Insurance, information on what you should be looking for in your insurance policies. And Dr. Kara Tennant, who will address the fire and impact on your pets. All of this next week, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460. Miss a day, miss a lot.
Shasta Regional Medical Center is located in the heart of downtown Reading and was the recipient of the 2017 Health Grades Patient Safety and Excellence Award. Our hospital is committed to always providing exceptional care and performance as a certified chest pain center, certified primary stroke center, and most recently earning the Joint Commission's Gold Seal of Approval for hip and knee replacement. When it comes to quality, compassion, and community, Shasta Regional Medical Center is the community choice.
If the American people ever allow private banks to control the issuance of their currency, first by inflation, then by deflation, the banks and the corporations that will grow up around them will deprive the people of all their property until their children wake up homeless on the continent their fathers conquered.
We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Revolution has started.
Sovereign Minds, now on Sundays, 10 to noon.
Hey, you getting hungry?
Yeah, hungry as a bear.
Oh, yes, the eternal question. What's for lunch?
Fast food?
Nah, I want something that didn't come in a bag.
Someplace fancy.
No, I want a place that has a down-home atmosphere, serves good portions, and has consistently good food.
My friend, you just described Black Bear Diner. They started just up the road in Mount Shasta. They have carried that feeling of home-cooked meals at a great price to more than 100 locations.
They're on Hilltop Drive in Reading.
Brrr.
What's that?
It's time to feed the inner bear.
Black Bear Diner.
With the changing of seasons, maybe it's time for a change for your family. And Palomar Builders, your ultimate home, invites you to discover River Point. River Point, by Reading's largest home builder, Palomar Builders, is located in South Reading. These quality-built homes include large, deep lots surrounded by mature oak trees featuring RV parking, energy efficiency, exceptional interior and exterior features. And just wait until you see the kitchens. Designer kitchens, Palomar Builders has spared no expense in the room you spend much of your time in. They feature granite countertops plus many other quality amenities and your stylish master suite. With its tree-lined streets, River Point provides quality living at reasonable pricing. Discover River Point in South Reading by Palomar Builders, your ultimate home. So make plans to come see the beautiful model home at River Point in South Reading. For more information, contact Debbie Morgan, Coldwell Banker, CNC Properties at 604-2127. River Point in South Reading with Palomar Builders, your ultimate home.
All right, welcome back to Radio Wasteland and our returning guest, author and researcher Rob Shelsky, before he was on here talking about the evidence of time travel, but this time we're talking about his book, Invader Moon. You there with us, Rob?
Yeah, sure am.
How are you doing?
Not too bad. I hear you guys in Reading aren't doing quite so well, though. It's terrible, the fires you've been having.
Well, thanks to the firefighters, we're no longer really in immediate danger, but we definitely were, and it looked like the apocalypse around here for a couple of days.
Well, I'm glad the worst has passed, hopefully, and that you guys can get on with your lives again, and that not too much damage was done.
No, yeah. Well, it's still burning out there for some of the outlying folks, but the bulk population is safe for now.
Well, good. I'm glad to hear it. I wish I could say for the people, say the same for the people on the moon.
Yeah. So this is a really fun topic for me because, you know, this is a new one for me. Probably like the last 2 or 3 years, I really sort of gained knowledge that this was even potentially a thing. And, you know, I was born in 1976. A year later, Star Wars came out. So pretty much everybody from my age on, you know, the idea of a moon being manufactured thanks to the Death Star, where they're just all, that's not a moon, you know, really piqued my interest when the topic came up. But how long has this actually been something that, well, why don't you explain to us what the moon might be if not a naturally occurring satellite of our planet? Let's start there.
Well, okay, In my opinion, it is a satellite of sorts. I mean, I do believe the moon is a natural object that has been modified. That modification can either be through the use of caverns or lava tubes that existed on the moon and that were dug out even more, or that the moon could have been created to have a hollow center. And the idea behind that is not dissimilar to what Carl Sagan said with what we could do with asteroids, that they would make a much better space station than building one from scratch, much cheaper, much easier, and much more effective. Well, it could be that someone did the same thing with the moon, and there does seem to be evidence for that fact.
Okay, so let's go back to my initial question, and seeing how I just came around to really sort of grasping that this was potentially a thing like 3 years ago, I got to ask, like, how long has this actually been bounced around as a possibility?
Well, it's been the idea of the spaceship moon theory, which is what the two scientists called it in the Soviet Academy back in the 1970s, around the time you were born, by the way. They came up with the idea that the moon might not be a natural object. And the reason they decided on that is because the moon has so many oddities about it that none of our theories seem to be able to give us a good idea of why the moon is even there. In fact, one famous scientist even said, it's easier to explain the non-existence of the moon than it is to explain its existence. I mean, it is that it's probably one of the oddest satellites or planets in the solar system. For one thing, I mean, there's nothing about it that seems to be normal by comparison to other places. So that got them going, and they theorized that perhaps the moon had been moved into orbit, and that it had been hollowed out, or at least partially hollowed out, and been used for a base. And oddly enough, the spaceship moon theory is the only theory of all five, or even if you want to count the other one, six theories of the moon, including the most recent, the impact theory that created the moon. It's the only one that answers all the problems we have with the moon, all these oddities. It alone actually satisfies every criteria for why the moon is there and what it's made of and the whole bit.
Now, the impact theory is what mainstream science is running with right now, right?
Right. It's the idea that a planet that they've named Theia, Mars-like or slightly smaller, impacted the Earth several billion years ago, close to the formation of the Earth itself. They were protoplanets, in that the two planets collided, debris was thrown up into orbit, and that debris eventually settled into our moon. And voila, we have our moon. But there are so many problems with this theory that another theory came out after it, which most people haven't given much credence to, and it's the georeactor theory, and that is that there's a great deal of radioactive material near the equator of the Earth. The Earth was spinning pretty quickly. There's a massive georeactor explosion, and that projected some of our mantle out into space, and that became the moon. Unfortunately, that theory, too, has a lot of problems with it. And they include all sorts of things like the current orbit of the moon, the speed of the moon's orbit, the right angular momentum factor, you name it. There are problems with it. There are with the impact theory. The impact theory doesn't explain quite a few things. That it explains some, but not all of the problems with the moon. For instance, if the moon came from an impact between the Earth and another planet, then there should be evidence of the other planet on the moon, since the moon was formed from both of the, you know, the debris of both planets, but there isn't. Oxygen isotopes on the moon show that it mostly seems to be made up of the Earth's mantle and not of anything else. In fact, we have no evidence for the planet Theia on the moon at all. It seems as if everything on the moon was formed from material from the Earth. Well, what happened to Theia? There must have been some debris that was thrown out into space. You can't collide two planets without having a major cataclysm, a catastrophe.
But that's a good point. The moon is very large.
There's nothing on the moon to prove it.
That's a good point. The moon is very large to not have some amount of debris floating out there if that was the case, even here billions of years later.
Right. If there's debris from the Earth on the moon, billions of years later, why isn't there debris from Theia on the moon? And yet none of our moon lunar landings have brought back any rocks that show the oxygen ratio isotope of anything other than the Earth. And that's quite a signature, because everything in our solar system has a different signature in that regard, including that's how we know when a meteorite's from Mars versus from the moon or from somewhere else, And it's very reliable. And also, by the way, you referred to the moon as being very large. It's too large for its size. The density of the moon is too low, which has made scientists theorize that either it has no core at all, or it has a very strange sort of interior that we are not familiar with, because the density of the moon is a good deal lower than the density of the Earth. Now, it's supposed to be made up of the same material as the Earth. So where is it? The moon also rings like a bell. You strike it, and it rings like a bell, not just for a little bit, for hours. And that's another problem. It made some scientists say, including one from NASA, say that it raises the alarming possibility that the core of the moon is no core at all, that it's hollow. And this goes on and on and on. Plus, we have historical evidence for the fact that the moon might not have always been in our skies. And it seems to all date to just about 12,000 years ago, as if something happened then. And there is evidence in the historical writings of Aristotle, of Apollonius, of Anaxagoras. There's also evidence from tales and legends from the New World. There's even legends relating to the Great Flood that talk about the fact the moon was not in the skies before the Great Flood, but only appeared afterwards. This is a worldwide phenomenon. There are tales from tribes in Central and South America that preface their stories with, in those days before there was a moon. Aristotle referred to a people he referred to as the proselenes, the people who lived in Greece before his race did, and he called them proselenes because they were before the moon. The Mayans refer to a time when only Venus ruled the heavens and the moon was not to be seen. And in fact, the Mayan culture is very big on Venus. It figures prominently in their astronomy and in their religion. The moon doesn't at all, which is odd. So, also, we have no historical paintings of the moon or renderings of the moon that date back more than a couple thousand years ago. We can't account for that because there's paintings and drawings on cave walls and stuff by cavemen of Venus and of various stars, but of the moon, almost nothing at all, and nothing that dates back to 12,000 years ago. So this is very strange, too. And so there seems to be a lot of corroborating evidence for the idea the moon wasn't always in our skies.
So we got about 3 minutes till commercial break, but the argument from the mainstream science fans out there who are listening are going to hit the fact that, well, not the fact, but the idea that without the moon, it's suggested that life probably wouldn't have evolved on Earth because the moon protected us so much through the evolutionary process.
Right, and that is a theory that is rather flawed because we now have pretty good evidence that Mars was once very Earth-like a few billion years ago. Mars had an atmosphere. It had a lot of water. In fact, there's still water on Mars now. They just found a lake beneath the South Pole. And we also are pretty sure that life was on Mars at one time, at least microbial life. We have a fossil that has been recently tested again that came from Mars in a meteorite, and it shows signs of it. We have seasonal methane on Mars, which seems to be what we have on Earth due to life. There's a lot of things now pointing to the fact that there must be at least microbial life on Mars. Well, if this is so, how did Mars manage it? Because it has two moons, yes, but they're tiny little things. They're hardly larger than asteroids, or actually not even as big as some asteroids. And they certainly had no effect on the evolutionary cycle on the planet or protecting the planet or keeping it even stable. And by the way, the angle of tilt of the planet Mars is not very dissimilar from that of Earth. And yet we think that without the moon, we'd be all over the place, rolling on our side and tilting very far, causing extreme weather patterns and freezing and melting all over, you know, repeatedly. Well, Mars doesn't seem to have undergone that at all, and it doesn't have our moon.
All right. Well, we're coming up on our first commercial break here. You're listening to Rob Shelsky, and we're talking about his book, Invader Moon, Was the Moon Manufactured? You're listening to Radio Wasteland. Come on back.
I remember how the dark Analog living in a digital world. Every week on Boomer Tech Radio, we offer up the latest tech news you can use. Hi, it's Bob Belongi. It's even easier to listen to the show now that we're on iTunes. You'll find our archives and articles at boomertechradio.com, and the show is streamed live at kcnr1460.com. We review the latest goodies, gadgets, and gizmos, and make sure you are up to date on the latest tech trends. Boomer Tech Radio, Saturday from noon to 2 p.m. on KCNR 1460, and now available as a podcast on iTunes.
Fresh air and new lasting friendships are hard to come by these days. Bikers Against Child Abuse will be escaping the valley for a weekend to ride through the forests near Shasta Lake, and you're invited. Every child deserves a great childhood, and by coming together, we can help prevent and end child abuse. Enjoy a weekend of fun by joining Bikers Against Child Abuse September 7th through the 9th at Lakeshore Inn and RV. The Shasta County Summer Camp Out will include overnight camping with cabins, a live band, and the scenic Shasta County Ride, complete with a barbecue dinner. Festivities begin Friday with a meet and greet on Saturday. Enjoy a ride, meet up at 9:30, kickstands up at 10, arrive back around 2, and then let the party begin. You won't want to miss the Bikers Against Child Abuse 3-day camp out the weekend of September 8th. For more information, contact Bikers Against Child Abuse or call Terminator at 209-9473.
I'm Dr. Nancy Sutton Pierce, the host of the Conscious Living Show, every Saturday, 11 to noon, here on KCNR 1460. You'll laugh, cry, and perhaps be shocked by my frank and honest conversations. I often team up with my husband, Dr. Mark Pierce, and no one makes me squirm or giggle quite like he can. We are the yin-yang, east-west, of most topics, yet you can always feel the love and respect between us. Visit DrNancySuttonPierce.com to keep this conversation going.
Hi, I'm Sharon Clark of Home Helpers. It's amazing to look back at all the families we've touched since 2004. But our clients say it best.
I want to express my deep appreciation for the love and support you and your...
So fortunate to have an organization like Home Helpers.
You never know how much your contribution meant or how greatly you touched our lives.
Thank you so much for helping me care for my husband.
After hearing what it's meant to them, I truly can't imagine doing anything else. When you need help for your loved one, choose Home Helpers. There is no place like home.
Are you looking to move on up to the east side? The east side of Reading has many, many things to offer, including the Palomar Experience. It's Highland Park and the beautiful east side of Reading. These high-quality luxury homes brought to you by Palomar Builders feature many luxury amenities, including green technology like radiant barrier roof sheathing, high-efficiency, quick-recovery gas water heaters, energy-efficient LED and fluorescent lighting, water-conserving toilets, faucets, and showerheads, and programmable irrigation systems. Exceptional exterior and interior features, including designer kitchens with granite slab countertops, stylish islands in some plans, and walk-in pantries with door. And the east side is close to shopping and to freeway access. To find Highland Park, just go north on Churn Creek, look for the signs to make a left on Bodenhammer, and you'll find the Palomar Experience. Highland Park, come see the model home. Contact Debbie Morgan from Coldwell Banker CNC Properties at 604-2127. For Palomar Builders, Highland Park.
It is tough establishing a new business in California, and even tougher if you're trying to understand the multiple laws that seem to have no other reason but to make your life harder. How do you deal with those legal hurdles while trying to build this new business or expand an existing one? By having your own qualified expert assist you. Douglas Wright, attorney at law, specializes in business law and is well versed on the morass of legal questions facing a California business. Douglas Wright, a professional corporation, 530-243-6000 or douglaswrightlaw.com.
All right, welcome back to Radio Wasteland and our guest, Rob Chelsky, and we are talking about his book, Invader Moon, and we're talking about whether or not the moon was manufactured. Rob, I got two questions for you. Let's hit the first one is, before the commercial break, you suggested that there were six possibilities of what the moon was, and we talked about three of them. One was that it was hollowed out to be used as a base. One was the impact theory. One had to do with an equatorial supervolcano or something like that. What are the other three?
Okay, the first theory of the moon, the one that came out pretty early on, was the theory of capture, and this was popular for a while. It was the idea that the moon was just passing by and Earth sort of grabbed it. That theory doesn't work at all because it doesn't explain the moon's current orbit. It really shouldn't have actually gone into such a nice circular orbit. It shouldn't have gone into orbit hardly at all. If it did, should have been highly eccentric. Far more likely the moon would have been shot out of the solar system and or the Earth along with it in another direction. So that was the problem with the capture theory. And then, of course, there was the theory of accretion. And this is the idea that the moon just sort of formed along with the Earth in the early solar system, and therefore it became stuck with us like a double planet system. Again, there's a lot of problems with that because it doesn't explain why the moon had such a small iron core, if at all, comparatively speaking to that of the Earth. This should have been much more proportional. The angular momentum is all wrong. And there's a number of other problems with it, so they kind of threw that one out. Then there was the theory of fission, and Charles Darwin is the kind of one who came up with this one. He said the moon, Earth was spinning really quickly, and there was a bulge at the equator, or at least on the Earth, and it finally the moon just broke free of it and went into orbit. And he thought the Pacific Basin was where the moon must have come from. Well, we've since learned that the Pacific Basin rocks are not nearly as old as the moon, and that there were giant continents, supercontinents on the Earth, and that the so-called hole wasn't there when the moon was formed or couldn't have been, so that was out. And also the oxygen isotope ratio of rocks on the Earth, as we now know, the Pacific Basin is far younger than that of the rocks on the moon. And then there was that georeactor explosion, which says you have a lot of nuclear material. There was a natural chain reaction, and it blew off, but it had to be right at the equator, which is another problem. You had to reach critical mass. You had to have a heck of a lot of this radioactive mass. It had to be right at our equator, and it had to just blow out just perfectly. And, again, we can't get the orbit of the moon that we have now from this kind of star. Again, the right angular momentum is wrong with the moon. We just seem to keep on going. The impact theory, same thing. We should have material on the moon from Theia, and we don't. The crust of the far side of the moon is thicker than the crust of the near side of the moon. There's the top three layers of rock or soil on the moon are reversed. The densest material is on top, and then you have a lighter layer, and then a lighter layer below that. Our massive craters on the moon are very shallow, and they should be very deep, and the small craters are very deep. And this lends the idea to those two Soviet scientists, Vasin and Sherbakov, that there might be an inner shell of the moon, a metallic shell that is below the outer crust, and that the moon really is hollow inside. So there's a lot of other problems with the moon. The moon's orbit is too circular. It's the only moon in the entire solar system out of dozens and dozens of moons that is just at the right distance from the Earth to allow for the perfect solar eclipses with it. And and also we even have it rises and sets along our horizon just as the sun does with regard to the vernal and autumnal equinoxes. So how is that possible? And what a coincidence. In fact, Isaac Asimov, a noted science fiction writer and also an author of many books on physics and astronomy, he talks about the fact that the moon was a miracle. And when scientists start saying that the moon is a miracle or a blessing, as one other scientist put it, you have to begin to wonder if it really was a blessing or a miracle or if it wasn't somehow placed where it was and it was altered in some way. And again, we have Neptunium. 237 found on the moon. It has a half-life of less than 3 million years. On Earth, it's just in trace amounts because over 4.5 billion years, it all decayed into something else, which is what radioactive isotopes do. Yet there's a fair amount of it on the moon, and there shouldn't be any at all, but there is. There's titanium on the moon in a decent abundance. There isn't much titanium on the Earth at all. That's why it's rare and very expensive as metals go. It's also a very strong metal, very highly sought after. And this sort of thing goes on and on. We just simply cannot explain all these oddities about the moon. The moon has tons and tons of helium-3, an incredibly rare thing on Earth, but on the moon, it'd be great for mining. The moon has a long history of strange sightings on it. In fact, NASA commissioned a report that went back 500 years to about the time the telescope was invented. And we have a history of beacons, flashes, streaks, volcanoes. There are no volcanoes on the moon. And as far as we know, there hasn't been for millions of years. But observers were calling these things that glowed red for months at a time, volcanoes. Again, there were beacons, tracks, mists, fogs, lightning, so-called volcanoes, you name it, this has been on the moon. In fact, astronomers refer to the Aristarchus crater as the blue gem, because that has had so many blue glows, blue flashes, blue beacons, blue mists, that it has earned the nickname not by laypersons, but by astronomers as the blue gem. And how can it be clouds on the moon and mists when there are no, or I should say when there is no atmosphere? How can you have lightning without an atmosphere? How can you have streaks and beacons and tracks going across the surface of the moon? Pulses, flashes, you name it, they've categorized, and they're still ongoing. NASA referred to these as transient lunar phenomena, but they are not transient. They have been going on for 5 centuries, and actually they've been going on longer than that. There was a report by Monk back almost 1,000 years ago about something strange happening with the moon, but NASA chose the 500-year period because, again, that's when the telescope had just been invented, so the results would be more reliable with regard to observations on the moon.
Yeah,
and by the way, they're ongoing now. We still see transient lunar phenomena now, and we simply cannot account for it. The moon, as being a dead planet, no atmosphere, no and it has moonquakes. It has no tectonic plates. It has no magnetic field, so we don't think it has an active core, and yet the moon has moonquakes. Some scientists said, well, it could be tidal stresses from the Earth, but then when they calculated it, the moonquakes aren't occurring where the tidal stresses on the moon should be. The center of gravity on the moon is off compared to that of the Earth. The moon should have a terrible wobble to it. Earth has a wobble to it, and it's called the libration. The moon doesn't have that. It has no wobble at all, and they can't figure out why, because it should. And again, it rings like a bell when struck. When they dropped a landing gear on the moon or a rocket, it'll ring, and it'll ring for hours, which raises the question of whether it's hollow. Earthquakes on the moon don't seem to travel through the center. One scientist said it's as if the center was made of something that seismic activity can't travel through, or there's no center at all. This goes on and on and on. How do we account for all of this? Well, the spaceship moon theory by the two Soviet Academy members, there is this the only theory that accounts for all of this.
Now, this, I might be wrong with my numbers here. I'd be happy to be corrected. So I'm under the impression that the moon is about a third or a fourth the size of Earth, yet it has about one-sixth the gravity.
One-sixth of the gravity,
but if you look
at the moon, the width of the moon, as you look at it, is approximately the width of the United States. So that should give you a good visual idea of how big the moon is.
And what is that in comparison to Pluto?
But the density is too low. So as several scientists put it, either the moon's hollow mm-hmm. or it's made of something quite different from the Earth, or the interior has to be quite different in material than the Earth, or there's no material at all there. Because they can't account for the low density. In fact, the density of the moon isn't a great deal higher than that of water. I mean, it is higher, definitely. But it is, if you put the density of the moon between the Earth and water, it's closer to water than it is to the Earth in density. And if it's made of the same material as the Earth, the mantle of the Earth, then it should be the same density. It's not. If it was formed by accretion, it should have an iron core in proportion to that of the Earth. It either has no iron core at all or a very, very small one. And they don't think it has an iron core because moonquakes don't travel to the center of the moon. They travel around the center as if, quote, unquote, of another scientist, the center were hollow. So this just, again, goes on and on. It's just I didn't believe in the hollow moon theory. I didn't believe that the moon might be the invader moon. In fact, I was on another radio show, and they mentioned it, and I just laughed it off and dismissed it. And then I began researching it, and I kept finding more and more oddities about the moon that we simply can't explain. Am I saying the moon is hollow? I don't know. I think it's an extremely plausible theory. And if you go by Occam's razor, if you have more than one explanation for something, you have to go with the simplest. The simplest explanation is the moon, although it may have been a natural object once, is so no longer and has been altered and or lunar-formed or terraformed, if you prefer, and that it has been placed in its current orbit and it wasn't there originally.
All right. Well, hey, Rob, this is a
something happened 12,000 years ago.
This is a perfect time for us to cut to our
moved into its present orbit.
Sorry, this is a perfect time for us to cut to our commercial break. You're listening to Rob Shelsky here on Radio Wasteland talking about Invader Moon. Come on back.
In the 40s, Redding Cab and Yellow Cab merged, and Redding Yellow Cab was born. A lot has changed since then. The town has more than tripled in size, and so have they. Through the decades, they've served Redding with generations of trustworthy drivers, family men and women, treating their customers with the respect and professionalism they'd expect for their own families. When you need to get to or from the airport or the train station, perhaps, Redding Yellow Cab is there for you. When you need a safe ride home, need to do some shopping, or want someone to shop for you, call Redding Yellow Cab at 222-1234.
When you're looking to add a pet to your family, Haven Humane Society is the place to start. Hi, this is Mark from Haven to tell you that shelter pets make the best pets. With kittens, puppies, dogs, cats, bunnies, guinea pigs, hamsters, snakes, birds, and more, Haven has a pet that is the right fit for your family. We also provide education, training, spaying and neutering, dog licensing, and so much more. If you're looking for a way to help, our amazing volunteers have fun with the animals while helping us to save lives. For more information, call 241-1653 or visit havenhumane.org. Like us on Facebook and follow our progress as we work towards a day with no more homeless pets in the North State.
We've just received news that Chlorina and Sludge have been captured for impersonating spring water. Let's now go to our field reporter, Olza Wett.
Once again, Bob the Drop saves the world from fake water and... Oh, here's Bob now. Bob, do you have anything to say?
Well, Chlorina and Sludge from Papopolis are the worst. Why would you want wannabe water when you can have the best-tasting water delivered right to your door? Anyone can get Mount Shasta spring water if they call us at 1-800-922-6227.
Pure and simple. Naturally, the best. Mount Shasta spring water.
A jewel of the North State, a place we love to go and love being members.
The view, the best in the North State, from the restaurants, meeting rooms, and of course on the award-winning 18-hole golf course, Riverview Golf and Country Club. It's the place to belong.
Go in and meet the friendly staff today or go to their website at riverviewgolf.net and find out about their introductory memberships.
Riverview Golf and Country Club, corporate, social, tennis, fitness, and golf. Get it all. Become a member.
It's affordable and fun. Riverview Golf and Country Club.
With the changing of seasons here in Northern California, it may be time for a change for you and your family. And Palomar Builders, your ultimate home, invites you to see Salt Creek Heights. Salt Creek Heights is located on the west side of Redding along Eureka Way, just minutes from the heart of downtown Redding. The new luxury homes from Palomar Builders are truly that. And prices start at just $4,038. Salt Creek Heights is 273 acres of land that supports residential units to a variety of single-family home sites. When you walk into a home in Salt Creek Heights, you'll see the exceptional quality and beauty that Palomar Builders builds into every home. Many lots have mountain and open space views, and all homes come with an entry-level solar system. As they say, seeing is believing. Make plans to see the model home. For more information, contact Tom Papik of Coldwell Banker CNC Properties at 941-9534. To find Salt Creek Heights, take Eureka Way to 299 West and North on Buenaventura Boulevard. Palomar Builders, building your memories.
All right, welcome back to Radio Wasteland and our guest Rob Chelsky. We're talking about Invader Moon. Was the moon manufactured? Rob, how much, if any, of mainstream science actually entertains the possibility of this? And if so, what would getting an answer look like? How would we get an answer?
Well, of course, the simplest solution is to go back to the moon and explore it some more. We haven't been back in over 40 years, and there are many people who believe that we've been warned off. That's why we haven't been back, because even if the United States didn't go back, why hasn't any other country in the world gone and landed on the moon? They've sent a couple probes. The Chinese have very poor luck with their rover. It only functioned for a few hours. Most of what we do is we put stuff in orbit around the planet, but we don't go on the. I call it a planet because it is round and theoretically could be called that. But we don't land on the moon, and we haven't for a very long time. And yet our technology has advanced steadily. I mean, it was in the late 60s, what, 69 when we landed on the moon the first time?
Yeah.
And then we went on through to the 70s, but we haven't been back since then. And our technology hasn't advanced in the last 40 years. Why aren't we back on the moon? It should be cheaper and easier than ever to go to the moon. We keep talking about it, but nobody does it. Main scientists, do not want to entertain the idea that the moon is hollow, although many have. There's a quote by a number of them, including some members of NASA as well, that talk about the idea the moon may be hollow, that there's something strange about it, that it just doesn't fit all the categories, that it's easier to explain the non-existence of the moon than it would be to explain its existence. So there's an awful lot of people questioning it, but mainstream scientists are simply looking at the moon as if it were an object that's always been there because they don't know any different, and they proceed on that basis. Is the moon actually hollow? I don't know. It's a theory. Does it have evidence to corroborate it? Yes, in the form of physical evidence, in the form of the problem with all the other theories that none can actually account for the moon in a reasonable manner, and also in the fact of historical evidence. Plus, we also have geological evidence that something did happen on the Earth about 12,000 years ago, something big. Crown fires in North America, the loss of all the megafauna in North America, great flooding of the megalithic culture, the drowning of civilizations along all the coastal areas, fires. We just something happened about 12,000 years ago, and I think it's given us a racial amnesia that we don't know what it was. Yet we do have historical records that talk about a time before the moon, stories of tribes that commence with before there was a moon, a Mayan culture that says there was a time before the moon. Romans talk about it. Greeks talk about it. Again, the Mayans and other tribes in Central and South America. This is worldwide. So is there evidence that the moon might be hollow? Yes. Is there evidence the moon might be an interloper or have been moved to a different orbit around 12,000 years ago? Yes, there is evidence for it. Is it a smoking gun? No. And the only way we can get a smoking gun is to go back to the moon and explore it and find out one way or the other. And I think we should go back. And yet, I also think we may not be able to go back because we might have been warned off.
Well, so the speculation of my science fiction, you know, movie fan brain leads me to if it happened 12,000 years ago, it couldn't have come from the Earth because that would just be absolutely catastrophic to life. So right. If something terrible happened
here, the
moon
may have come from the Earth sometime long before, and it may have been in a different orbit, and then someone came and changed the orbit and changed the interior of the moon and made it habitable for themselves. How do we explain mists and gas escaping from the center of the moon when there's no volcanic activity, no volcanoes on the moon, and we see no rifts or fissures on the moon that would produce this? How do we explain it when there's no tectonic activity, no tectonic plates, when there's no magnetic field that surrounds the moon like the Earth or any other planet, and therefore apparently its core, if it ever had one, has stopped moving, stopped rotating? So how do you explain that? I mean, there has to be an explanation, and current theories simply don't explain it. Then two scientists, and again, it wasn't me, it wasn't some conspiratorial nut, came up with it. It was two Soviet scientists, members of the Soviet Academy of Sciences, who came up with this idea. And so far, I haven't seen a standard model theory that explains everything that theory does. So going with Occam's razor again, I have to say, well, right now, I favor the hollow moon theory. And also, we've been talking about moving asteroids and hollowing them out. If we moved an asteroid into orbit around the Earth, it'd be worth, if it was a nickel iron-based one, it'd be worth about $9 trillion, which is greater than the entire gross national products of every country on Earth for 1 year. And in the process of mining it, you would hollow it out. And there is nothing safer to inhabit than an asteroid with a nickel and iron exterior. I mean, you're safe from solar flares. You could house up to 50,000 people in a smaller asteroid. It'd be a great city. It'd be completely shielded from the outside. Nothing that the sun could throw at it or anything else. You wouldn't even know it was there. There would be no electromagnetic radiation coming from it, no radio waves, no TV waves. It'd all be sealed up inside. You'd live in there in a closed ecosphere for thousands of years. What's to say that some other race in some other solar system didn't do this and set sail on the cosmic sea, maybe thousands or even hundreds of thousands or even millions of years ago? They estimate there are more rogue planets between the stars than there are planets around stars. You could be utterly lost out there. No one would know you were there. You would have no sign or evidence that there was anything on you. You're just another rogue planet. So if there was another alien species that was your enemy, they wouldn't know how to find you. You could drift for thousands of years, enter another solar system, park your moon around some planet, enjoy the warmth of the local sun, maybe go down to the local planet, investigate it, explore it, stock up on supplies that you might need after all those thousands of years in space, and then eventually maybe move on. Or you might want to stay and observe what's happening on that planet because there's life there. And by the way, there is one other planet that might have a hollow moon, and that's Mars. The moon Phobos has a density far too low for its size, and many scientists theorize it might be hollow. Isn't it odd that the two planets in the solar system, one that has life and one that might have had life, both might have hollow moons? Really coincidental.
Right, right. And, you know, maybe there's no such thing as coincidence, I guess. You know, like you were saying earlier, when they start using terms, when scientists start using terms like a blessing or it's a miracle, right? Yeah, you know that.
Or miraculous, right. And
right.
Then you begin to wonder, well, are we talking about science now? Are we talking about fantasies, you know?
Right.
So,
well, we're here at the end of the show. I'd like to have you tell our audience a little bit more about how they can find out about you and where they can get a hold of your book, Invader Moon.
Sure. They can get my book through Permuted Press. It's also with Simon & Schuster, which I'm really proud of because they're one of the big six publishers. And or you can get it at online at Amazon, Amazon Kindle. It's in print. It's in ebook format. You can get it, well, just Google my last name and it'll come up. I mean, anything you want by me is on Amazon, or just Google my last name, Schulzky, and it'll come up.
Yeah, well,
easiest way.
We really enjoy having you on the show. Every topic that we have you on, your brain. I don't know if you're just doing mad homework before each time you do an interview about your stuff, but, man, your brain contains a lot of information.
Well, someone asked me that once. They said, how do you come up with all these facts? And my answer was, I make them up. I'm kidding.
Well, at least you're honest.
I'm kidding.
Seems to work nowadays.
I research this stuff intensely, and that's why I tend to write books about it, because once you learn enough about something, you can write about it. But I have this fascination and curiosity for just about anything like this.
Yeah, well, I have an amazing memory for song lyrics and movie quotes that I've seen or heard 30 years ago, yet I can never remember to take the trash out. So it's like, I guess you
yeah,
remember.
Me neither, but then I try to forget that one.
Right, you remember what you love.
Right, exactly.
All right, you've been listening to Rob Schulzky here on Radio Wasteland. Thank you for...
No more.
The news is brought to you on KCNR, Shasta, Redding by Tobacco and Brew. Come see their newly remodeled store at 2143 Hilltop Drive in Redding. Tobacco and Brew, open 7 days a week.